How are we doing this fine, beautiful morning? Good. Well, it is a beautiful morning, and I am grateful for that, because when there is beauty, there can also be a time for heaviness. And today's topic is a little heavy, but I am so thankful that this study, this teaching, came after Lenya's teaching last week. Last week, Lenya gave us great tips on how to deal with emotional baggage, and I want you to recall some of the things that you learned, some of the nuggets that you took home with you, because today is a time that we are going to talk about a truly sad story. The story of Dinah is not a story that ends well. It's not something that has a happy ending or that we can neatly tie up with a bow. But to be honest, I'm thankful that the Bible includes this story, because too often we tend to see the Bible through rose-colored glasses, and we think that the people in the Bible, the stories that are told about these people, were just so perfect, and so we can never amount to that or achieve that. But the Bible does not just include these great stories, great love stories like Ruth and Boaz, or the great victories like Joshua at Jericho, or the great moments of faith that we saw when Moses was able to part the Dead Sea or the Red Sea. The Bible also includes the heartache of sexual sin between David and Bathsheba and the consequence of that with them losing their child. It includes the great losses that the children of Israel experienced when they were taken captive because of their sin. It includes the great moments of doubt that we see with Jonah when he flees from the Lord and then is swallowed by a whale. The reality, ladies, is that life can suck. It really can. And sometimes our happy endings are not around the corner. Anyone who tells you differently is trying to sell you something. Life is hard. There are difficult moments, and there are times when we cannot see what God's plan is for us. Maybe some of you feel like that today. You're in that situation now. Maybe you feel like there isn't any hope. Well, today we're going to talk about the story of a young woman who probably felt the exact same way. A story of a young lady who, because of her decisions and because of the depravity of others, was left in a horrible situation, and deliverance did not come in the way that she expected it to. It's a story that was painful to study and hard to unpack because it is so filled with emotional baggage. And today I'm going to unpack some heavy, dark baggage, not only in this text, but also in my own life, as I feel that the Lord has placed it on my heart to share with you what has maybe gone on in my life and some of your lives. But while we do this, while I unpack this scripture and I share with you part of my story, I ask that you too unpack some of the emotional baggage that you may have in your life. The baggage that you may still be holding on to. The baggage that may be holding you back from the potential that God has for your life. Because we are not going to allow Dinah's story or the stories or the tragedies in our lives to hinder us from moving forward toward the cross. Even though this story is filled with hopelessness, we will find our hope in Jesus through the crimson thread of redemption that is woven throughout all of the scriptures. We will look closely at Dinah's story and her life and learn from her experience, but we are going to close by looking at some other scriptures that I believe can give us some hope and clarity in the midst of the storms in our lives. One of the unfortunate things about Dinah's story is that we don't know really how it ends. And since there isn't a lot of hope to be found in this particular text, we will close by finding hope in other passages. And maybe some of you are in that story right now and you're not sure how it ends. Sometimes we can't find hope in our stories. But the beautiful thing about the Bible and the beautiful thing about Scripture is that we don't look at Scripture in part, we look at it in whole. And so although there are stormy seas, there is a great captain. Although there is sickness and pain, there is a great doctor. And although there are moments of darkness, the Son is alive and living, and He is available to anyone who calls upon His name. That's right. Today, we will see that no matter what decisions we've made, no matter what depravity we have experienced in our lives, that there is always deliverance available to us because we are daughters of the King. And that is what I have titled my message today, A Daughter of the King. And I think this picture explains it perfectly. On the darkest of days, when I feel inadequate, unloved, and unworthy, I remember whose daughter I am, and I straighten my crown. And that is what I'm going to challenge you ladies to do after this teaching today. So as we look at Genesis 34, we are going to see the impact of our decisions, the impact of man's depravity, and the impact of God's deliverance. For the sake of saving time, because this is a long chapter and there's a lot to cover, I'm going to summarize Genesis 34 to you all. So, as we enter into Genesis 34, we meet Dinah. Dinah is the daughter of Jacob and Leah. She is a sister to 12 brothers, 6 biological and 6 half-brothers. She is believed to be a teenager in the age of 14, 15, maybe 16, and she is living with her big, complicated family, the family that we learned about last week, outside a city called Shechem. And Dinah decides to venture into the city of Shechem to hang out with some of the girls. And while she is there, she catches the eye of the prince. Shechem, the prince, takes Dinah captive or away and rapes her. And after he does this, he is remorseful for his actions. And so he tries to come up with a plan to marry Dinah. And so he convinces his father to go with him to Jacob to negotiate for Dinah's hand in marriage. When Hamor, Shechem's father, and Shechem address Jacob, Jacob is speechless. He doesn't really know what to do with the news. And so he remains peaceable and silent until his sons have returned from a day's work. When they return and they hear of what has happened to their sister, they are mortified at the news. And so they deceitfully plot to kill every man in the city of Shechem by agreeing to give their sister's hand in marriage if every man agrees to be circumcised. Hamor and Shechem agree to this, and so do the men in the city. And when the men of the city are in immense pain on the third day after undergoing the circumcision, Levi and his brother Simeon, Dinah's brothers, kill all of the men in the city. After the other brothers decide to pillage and raid the city, taking all of the wealth, the livestock, the women, and the children. And Jacob rebukes his sons for this action because he is upset that they have defamed his name and given them a poor reputation in the city and in the land that they're residing in. And the brothers are not remorseful. We end in a place, this chapter ends, where the brothers are not remorseful. Jacob's upset because of what might come upon them because of their actions, not necessarily because of what Dinah went through. And so we are left in the remnants of a storm. And in this chapter, we see the gravity of how our decisions greatly impact and influence others. We see here a ripple effect of decisions, right? Each poor decision leading to the next poor decision, causing chaos and damage all along the way. There are so many decisions here that we could really break down and break apart and study. But for the sake of time, I'm going to hone in on two people particularly and the impact of their decisions. So we're going to see the impact of our decisions. For context sake, look with me at chapter 33 at verse 18, and we're going to take that down through verse 2 of 34. It says, "Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he entered or erected an altar there and called it El Eloi Israel. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and he lay with her and he violated her." The first decision we see here is Jacob's decision. Jacob's decision to settle his family in the land outside of the city of Shechem. Why did Jacob decide to do this? We learned in Genesis 28 that Jacob planned to go to Paddan Aram. PA is probably easier, right? I'll just go with that. He decided to, when he was in PA, that he was going to get a wife from his uncle Laban, and then he was going to return to his father's land. And then later, we learn in Genesis 33, when Jacob is crossing paths with his brother Esau, that it said that he was planning on journeying to the city of Seir. Yet Jacob purchased this land outside of Shechem and built a home for his family outside a pagan city and in Canaanite territory. Perhaps his people and his herds were too weak to carry on beyond this point, because we did read that in chapter 33 that they were tired and weary. Or perhaps when he came upon this land, he saw that it was prosperous, and so he decided to stay. Regardless of his decision, or regardless of the reason he decided this, he decided to settle there, and that decision had consequences. Every decision we make, good or bad, has a consequence. A consequence is the effect, result, or outcome of something occurring earlier, which means every decision that we make affects and impacts our lives, but also the lives around us. A consequence can be positive or negative, but in this situation, it happens to be the latter. Jacob's decision to live outside the city of Shechem is very similar to how his uncle, he might have been a great uncle, Lot, decided to live outside of Sodom. Genesis 13 tells us that Lot saw that the land to the east looked plentiful, so he chose to go east and pitch his tent outside the cities near Sodom. Later, we see that Lot was drawn in and allured to the city life. And Lenya spoke on that a little bit and the benefits of that life. And then here in Genesis 34, I imagine Jacob and his family are finding themselves in a similar situation. Although Jacob has kept his family from living among the pagans, he has not protected them from the appeal. What does this reveal to us? As parents, it reveals that we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware of where we are living, where we're spending our time, and whom we're spending our time with, because all of these decisions, whether we know it or not, are impacting and influencing our children. So, what message are you sending your children through your lifestyle choices? What are your choices teaching your children about life? As parents, it is our responsibility to consider the implication of our choices, to consider how each decision may directly or indirectly impact our children. And I do not believe that Jacob did that here. He must have known the possibilities of how this could negatively affect his family, but he was still willing to take the risk. Jacob should have considered his ancestor Lot's situation. He could have learned from the stories that he heard from before. He could have done something differently, but it doesn't appear that he did so. What about you? Do you learn from your mistakes? Do you learn from the mistakes of others? Maybe the mistakes of your parents or those who have gone before you? Or do you disregard their stories as that was then and this is now? If I'm honest, as a single girl, I was very much that person. That person who thought my mother was irrelevant. That she was too old to understand what I was going through today. Until I was an adult and I realized that the devil's tricks have always been the same. What he used to stumble, trap, and cripple people then is still what he uses as strongholds for with us today. And it was the same deception that he used to lure Dinah in. Which brings us to the decision of Dinah. Genesis 34:1 tells us that Dinah desired to hang out with the daughters of Shechem. Dinah desired to hang out with the people who are probably perceived as the in crowd, but in fact were the wrong crowd. She desired to know more, to know where they were and what was going on. This young girl was intrigued and maybe even charmed by the diversity and the different lifestyles they had. Some historians believe that the city of Shechem was a diverse people group. A city populated by people with different backgrounds, cultures, customs, and religious beliefs. I can only imagine that she desired to know more, to figure out what these people all had that was so different than what she knew. A fascination that would lead to an unfortunate outcome. 1 John 2:15 through 16 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." A fascination for the things of this world will become the devil's tools to manipulating you in your life. Be careful of what catches your gaze. We can only assume that Dinah knew better. Her father decided to settle outside the city. So we can only assume that she must have known and her family must have known that there was a reason for that separation. Yet she decides to venture into the city anyways. Just like so many of you and I have done either today or have done in our past, we know better, yet we're willing to risk it. We date unbelievers. We hang out with unbelievers. Then we begin to live our lives as unbelievers. I can sympathize with Dinah. I grew up in a well-rounded Christian home. I knew right from wrong. I loved God, but I still desired to be a part of the in crowd. I hung out with kids that the world would most likely see as good kids. But from a Christian's perspective, these kids were going down the wrong path. And over time, my character was compromised. Although I did not get mixed up into heavy drugs or heavy partying, my priorities began to change. Living as an exemplary Christian became a get-out-of-jail-free card. I lived for my peers' approval, for my own approval, and for the praise of man. I was devoted to doing everything with all of my heart, except seeking the Lord. My Christian walk slowly became something that I placed on the back burner and I turned on simmer. Revelation 3:16 says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Ladies, I became a bitter taste in the Lord's mouth, and I was very, very close to being vomited out. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord." God calls us to separate ourselves from the people and the things of the world, not because we are better than them, but because we are weak just like them. We cannot live in darkness and not be blackened from it. We must realize the seriousness of our decisions. Dinah learned the cruelty of this world the hard way. And as single women, you need to consider the temptations and the allure of the world, not only for yourselves, but also for your future. How will your decisions of today impact your future? Your future spouse, your future aspirations, your future children. Consider your decisions today because they are what shape your tomorrow. As single women, you need to be making wise decisions. You may know yourself. You may know that you're very strong. You may know how to say no or even stand firm in your faith, but you cannot always control somebody else's actions or somebody else's decisions. Which brings us to our second point, man's depravity. Our world is not lacking when it comes to horrific stories. Horrific stories of death and destruction not caused by the natural disasters that we have experienced or seen on the news, but death and destruction that has been caused by someone choosing to inflict it on another. In the United States, we march against gun violence. We march against racism, and we march against inequality. And every single thing, everybody points to a different issue, a different subject, and they miss the common denominator, which is people. The issue is not the gun, but the person behind the gun. The issue is not race, but the person who treats the other person as inferior. Every issue we have stems from mankind. And the same is to be true in Genesis 34, when we see the depth of man's depravity and Shechem's actions. Genesis 34, 2 through 4, it says, "And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and he lay with her and he violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, 'Get me this young woman as a wife.' Shechem, as the prince of the land, who was ruled by his fleshly desires, does as he pleases. He sees, he wants, he takes." Mark 7:21-23, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." And Dinah falls victim to this man's position and his power. In America today, it is said that every 98 seconds, a person falls victim to sexual assault. That means every single day, more than 570 people experience sexual violence in this country alone. 1 in 6 women within the United States will have survived an attempt or a completed rape in their lifetime. And 94% of those women will struggle and face PTSD. To bring it a little closer to home, it is said that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 20 men in the state of New Mexico will experience sexual violence within their lifetime. To help you understand that statistic, there is estimated to be about 400 women here today. That means 100 of you have or will experience the sin of sexual assault. The sin and deprivation of man is very real today. 2 Timothy 3:2 through 4 says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This society is what we live in today. But God's people aren't innocent of these things or innocent in this matter. Jacob's family was guilty of these very things. They were disobedient children, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. They were brutal, headstrong, and haughty. Jacob's sons, driven by their own emotions, retaliate and seek revenge for what has happened to their sister. If you read with me, in Genesis 34:13-17, we can recap this. It says, "But the son of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father and spoke deceitfully because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said to them, 'We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach to us. But on this condition, we will consent to you, if you will become as we are. If every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you and will become one people. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone.'" If you jump down to verse 25, "Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all of the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth. All their little ones, their wives, they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the house." Some of you might hear that and think, that's justice. Honestly, part of me, when I read this, felt that way. I read in verse 19 that Shechem was more honorable than all the household of his father. A man who has committed rape and is remorseful is more honorable than all of the men? Really? Well, then maybe they did deserve death. Right? That's what my heart said when it lapsed in judgment, but I know that not to be true. Romans 12:17-19 in the Message says, "Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it." Ladies, God will take care of it. Another person's wrongdoing never justifies our retaliation. I love what Jack Graham taught our staff here at Calvary just last month. He said, "Doing right is always right. Doing wrong is never right. And doing right is never wrong." Proverbs 20:22 says, "Do not say, 'I will recompense evil.' Wait for the Lord, and he will save you." Dinah's brothers did not wait on the Lord. They took matters into their own hands. We might have been able to see what God would have done and how he would have redeemed this situation on his own had they stopped and actually sought the Lord. The greatest mistake I see in this passage is that these men of faith, Jacob and his sons, never stopped and prayed. Jacob stayed silent and his sons responded irrationally. Luke 6:27-28 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." God is faithful to deliver us from any stronghold that our enemy may have on us. Nahum 1:1-a few of the verses says, "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. It goes on to say, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble, and He cares for those who trust in Him. It is our job to trust God in the storm, to trust God in the midst of our pain, to know that He is always faithful, faithful to restore, faithful to heal, and faithful to redeem. God is faithful to pick up the pieces of our lives and put them back together better than they ever were to begin with. It is only in and through God that we can find deliverance from our brokenness. And so as we close with our last point, God's deliverance. Earlier I mentioned that I would unpack a little bit of my story with you. And before I can really do that, I want you to know not just what God delivered me from, but where God has brought me to. Ladies, our God is so faithful. And I know this not just because I've witnessed it in the lives of others, but because I have experienced it and I am a beneficiary of it. God has proven Himself faithful in my life. I am happily married. I am in love with Nathan. I have two beautiful children. I have a beautiful home, a great job, and I have inherited a beautiful, messy family in God. Honestly, I was just telling Lenya last week that I can honestly say that I want for nothing. I want for nothing because God has supplied my every need and then some. And I can proudly say that because I know what God has brought me through and where He has brought me to. There were times in my life that I felt like Leah, that I felt unloved or unlovable. There were times in my life that I felt like Rachel, that I thought it would almost be easier to die than to live with my longing and my desire to have more children because it was that painful. And believe it or not, there have been times in my life where I could relate to Dinah. Last week, Lenya walked us through the difficult truth that we all carry emotional baggage. Regardless of who you are, what you've experienced, or what you have not experienced, we all have baggage. Ladies, one of the pieces of baggage that I struggled to leave behind and surrender to the Lord was that of being molested. So Dinah's story really hit home. Like Dinah, I made a stupid decision that brought my defenses down and left me vulnerable. My family has, like I said, always been a wonderful, loving family, a family who had open doors to friends and family and whoever needed a place to stay. And so my family did just that. We opened our doors to family, friends who needed a place to stay. And I confidently permitted one of those friends to sleep on the floor of my room. In the middle of the night, when he said he was cold and uncomfortable, I told him that he could sleep in my bed. In the early hours of the morning, I woke up to, I don't even know how to explain the emotion. I don't know how to explain it because my heart and my mind felt captive. I felt like I couldn't move, didn't know what to do. I was scared. Yet at the same time, my body was responding in a way that told this young man that this is what I desired. And it took a while until I was able to get him to leave, to get off of me. And then I left the room. And for years, I lived with guilt and shame. Guilt and shame because I invited this young man to sleep on my floor because I was confident and I thought I knew myself. I allowed him to sleep on my bed unbeknowing to my parents because, again, I thought, you're a family friend. Nothing's going to happen. And then I had to live with the shame and guilt of feeling like my body desired this. Although my heart and my mind said no, my body said go. And so that's what this young man did. Stories like these that we experience in our lives, they leave scars. They create emotional baggage that we have to carry with us each day. And Lenya last week gave some great tips and great tools with how to truly deal with this emotional baggage that we carry. And I want to reiterate some of those to you because I think some of us need to hear it more than once. Emotional baggage is much heavier than any other baggage you carry with you. Your journey through life will be much lighter if you do not carry your past with you. Everyone comes with baggage. Find someone loving enough to help you unpack it. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." There is no greater love than the love of God. Ladies, if you have baggage like me, if you need deliverance, take your baggage to God. Who better than God himself to unpack the heavy darkness that weighs down on your heart? We all know Dinah's story. We all know that it wasn't a story that appeared to end well. For many of us, it is hard to accept. It's hard to understand. And that is very much how I felt when I read this scripture. It was unsettling. And if it was unsettling to you, good, because it should have been. A lot of us have had experiences in our lives that didn't end well. But that is the part of the story that I can appreciate, because it's real life. And real life doesn't always go the way we think it should. What we do with this story, with our stories, it is what makes all the difference. We can choose how we want to respond. All too often we allow our past to define us. Whether it was something that we did or something that somebody else did to us, we wear the scars as scarlet letters. What scarlet letter are you wearing today? Addiction? Adultery, fornication, abuse, victim, depression, disabled, broken, unlovable. Whatever your letter might be, today I want you to peel these letters off. Take down these identifiers and begin to see yourself through the eyes of your Heavenly Father. See yourself as a daughter of the King. Because it does not matter what you have been through or what you have done. If you believe in the name of Jesus, you are a daughter of the King. And that is where I find my hope in my story, where I find hope in Dinah's story, and where I want you to find hope in your story. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." As daughters of the King, we can be delivered from the dark, heavy baggage in our lives. 1 Peter 2:9, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." John 8:34 through 36 says that Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Through Christ, we are free from guilt, free from shame, and free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus, we are set free, redeemed, and forever protected in his love. Isaiah 43:1-2. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. It goes on to say that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Ladies, as daughters of the King, God will never leave you or forsake you. He is always with us. He will guide us through the deep waters, and he will walk us through the scorching fires, and yet we will not be overtaken, and we will not be burned. Reading this scripture made me think of Jeremy Camp's song, The Same Power, and the words are so applicable that I'm going to read them to you. It says, I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down the dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. He lives in us. No matter what life throws at us, we are more than conquerors because God is victorious and God makes beauty out of ashes. I know this to be true in my own life, and I believe it to be true in Dinah's as well. Although we do not know entirely how her story ended, we do know that she was a daughter of the King. We know that God was able to use what man meant for evil and turn it into good. What her brothers meant for evil, God redeemed and was still able to bring to fruition his greater purpose. God was still able to fulfill the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So spoiler alert, in Genesis 49, Jacob's 12 imperfect, broken sons were blessed to commission the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Ladies, when you think there is nothing good that could come of what your life has amounted to, or when you fear that the scars that you bear are that which define you, I want you to remember your Savior. Remember our God who bears our scars, not as a symbol of shame, but as a symbol of salvation. 2 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been made healed. It is through Jesus' scars that we are set free. It is through his life, his death, and his resurrection that we find true deliverance. Deliverance from our mistakes, deliverance from the mistakes of others, and deliverance from the pain that we have experienced. If a perfect God can come down in the form of man and live a perfect life, sinless, without reproach, can then be put to death for our sins, bear the physical and the emotional scars of that sacrifice, and still extend unconditional forgiveness, we too can forgive ourselves and forgive those who have scarred us. Mark 11:25, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Deliverance does not come from wishing ill upon those who have hurt you. Deliverance comes through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and then you extending that forgiveness to others. Ladies, our scars do not have to be reminders of the wrongs done to us. They can be reminders of what God has rescued us from. You have been redeemed, so live in that truth today. Remember that you are a daughter of the King, and that on the darkest days when you feel inadequate, unloved and unworthy, remember whose daughter you are and straighten your crown. Ladies, if you need prayer today, if you need to have someone pray over you to help you forgive somebody else. We just encourage you to do that. If you yourself need to repent and ask for forgiveness or just forgiveness for some mistakes that you have made, we encourage you to leave that at the altar. Leave that at the cross so that you can be emptied of your emotional baggage and be delivered from your pain. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your love and your unconditional mercy. I thank you that you can, in fact, turn ashes into beauty. Lord, that you can take a broken, maybe used up life and use it for your good. Lord, that you can turn everything around if we just fully commit and fully surrender our lives to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone who has struggled with letting go of their own mistakes, struggled with letting go of the wrong that somebody else has done to them. Lord, I pray that you would just come upon them with your arms wide open, Lord, and embrace them and help them walk through the road of recovery, of letting go of the past and leaning into the future, Lord God. We pray all of this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.